Good morning. Well, as Rob said, I'm Todd Miller, and I am the short-term missions director for Rosedale Mennonite Missions. And so I'm over programs such as City Challenge, and you guys have heard a little bit about that, Reach, Ex Voto, anything basically under a year for Rosedale Mennonite Missions. And I'm not alone here, Keith Shuffle. Levi used to work at Rosedale Mennonite Missions, and so you guys are all fairly familiar with Rosedale. City Challenge, for those of you that were here last week, the youth group went to City Challenge this summer and gave a brief report last week. It's basically where youth groups come into the inner city of Columbus and we give them an inner city missions experience, and then we also speak and talk to them, and a really awesome program. Tom and Candace Mast are from this congregation in Thailand, and I visited them. They have a wonderful family there, and it is a hard place. It is a hard place. A lot of the places that we send missionaries to are hard places. It's kind of like tilling the soil when it hasn't been worked for years and years and years. And it is hard. We're starting another program called Ex Voto. And Ex Voto is basically a short-term, like 10-day mission trip for families, for individuals, for support teams. And we're going to have a team go to Thailand this next summer. And so if you want to pray about it and see if God calls you to be part of that team, to go visit Tom and Candace and support them in prayer and your presence, that would be an awesome thing. That'd be an awesome thing. We also have Reach teams out there. And this last round, we had teams in Kenya, Indonesia, Thailand, South Africa, Madagascar, and also Israel. Madagascar, there was a coup in Madagascar, and so we had to move our teams out, also to South Africa. Four of these teams are now back. Two of the teams are coming back next month, and that would be South Africa and Thailand. And so they're serving in different capacities in these places. And we have the main area that we're focusing on at RMM is the 1040 window. And you can see the square up here, and that is the area of the world. It's 10 degrees longitude by 40 degrees latitude, and this is the area of the world that is the least reached. That means less than 2% are Christians. In some of these places, people have never even heard the name of Jesus. And so it's a hard place. It's more expensive to get all the way over there. But this is the area we feel that God has really called us to be a light and a witness. And the places that show up there, Spain, Turkey, Thailand, and Zambia, are actually places that we're sending reach teams that are starting training in August. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about the Kenya team. They came back recently, and I'm telling you, it was a hard outreach. Physically, probably one of the most demanding outreaches that we've had. They walked 5 miles to church and 5 miles back, 3 times a week. Can you imagine that? The team lost a total of 200 pounds. It's like one person. And several of the girls had malaria, which for us, it's like they have malaria. There, it's like the flu. You know, and they take medication and get over it. But they had a hard, difficult time. I think the team leader, it's Zach and Aaliyah Miller, and they're from around this area, so you might actually know them. I think he killed 32 scorpions during his time, is his record. But when they went out, they went with a man named Benson. I'm going to show you Benson's video in just a minute. And they went into basically some tribal-type situations way out in the middle of the desert. And when they were finished with them, they came back to the refugee camp that they were working in. And I'm telling you, it was not a plush situation. They were looking back. They said they were really looking forward to getting back to the refugee camp where they had it so nice. And the only thing that's probably more primitive, the only way they could have had it more primitive in the refugee camp area is if they just slept outside. That was it. But they were really looking forward to getting back there because it was so much nicer than all of these villages that they were in. And so they worked with Benson, who we're going to show you the video right now. Let's go ahead and hit the lights and show that.
This is a story of Benson and how God is using him in East Africa, but it's also the story of RMM. In 1991, we started the REACH program and sent our first REACH team to Kenya. And we sent several teams over the years following, and the African Christian Church began to get a vision for their own training center in Kenya. And in the year 2000, they sent a young man named Solomon. And Solomon applied what he learned in REACH. He studied, he asked questions, he formulated a plan for his school in Kenya. And he went back and started the International School of Missions, or known as ISOM. One of his students was Benson. And the story you're about to see is how God used Benson and ISOM to do wonderful things all across East Africa.
And this is a true story, and the one who is speaking is a desert boy. And this is my life, and this is what I love to do. Thank God you have a chance to come and share with me this experience.
Benson is like, he doesn't pass anybody by, and then people say, "Hey, Benson," and they start talking, and all of a sudden it's a crowd, and he changes the topic, he starts ministering to people.
In less than 2 years, he's been able to plant 8 churches. That is, I've never had anything like this. He has more than 3,500 people.
It just seemed like there was no stopping him with his ministry.
I don't think that Benson ever regarded himself as something special. He was just an average person who heard a call from God and had the faith enough to believe God would do it.
I am a Turkana by tribe. I was born in the northern part of Turkana. I am the last born of our family. My dad had many wives. That 6 of them, and we are about 56 children, and only 2 of us we are saved. When I was a boy of 6 years, I could remember the words that the Holy Spirit could speak to me. The Lord said, "Go, speak my word, and heal the nations." And I could say myself, a Turkana, a shepherd boy, can go, speak, and heal the nations.
When Benson came to school here, nobody would have dreamt, because of course he's from unreached people's group. Guys who don't wear clothes, dry hot, heat, camels, few goats and cows.
From what I understand, this is a largely forgotten people that even the rest of Kenya doesn't know a whole lot about. They don't have a lot of voice. They don't have cities. They're not modern. They don't have electricity or even good roads going to where they live.
Nobody would ever have thought that Benson would be such a potential young person.
I was about 17 years. That's when I began the serious witnessing on my trips to reach the unreached in the northern Turkana, this side. I went about 260 kilometers walk, 4 nights, 4 days.
When I met Benson, he was still reaching out to Kanas. I talked about ISOM. He got interested and he said, "Can I join? I need some training."
So I joined ISOM, International School of Missions, 2002. in Ison, every day God could speak, remember, speak, go, and heal the nations. But I told God, humble me, I want just to be simple, but I have to reach my people before I reach the nations. After my graduation, I came back home. I began working, reaching and identifying these villages. About 327,000, they are not reached. They don't have any church. They have never heard even the name Jesus.
In 2 years, he comes back here, he walks in my office, and he tells me the story of what has happened in the last 2 years. He's able to plant 8 churches. Who would have ever thought when he came to training in ISOM that he would do that kind of a thing? I was moved to tears because I said, Lord, I didn't know when this young man came here that he had such a potential.
Level to go, minister to people, stay with them, their home level, their home context, he understand the language, he understand the culture.
They call me a desert boy. You know, I have to be a nomadic in order for them to know this is a man like us. When they see me in the field there taking care of goats, they say, surely this man has touched our lives.
He cared about everyone. He spent time with the old people and with the children. He would pick them up and hold them and carry them, and you could tell that they loved him. They followed him around like a bunch of little ducks. He would walk across the desert going to a hut that they had built him.
A man like that can go to a village and draw people to him and somehow have this way of making people want to hear what he has to say.
I mobilized the diviners, the witchcrafts in the area, and I prayed, and I told them, kneel down. You are not kneeling to me, but you are kneeling to God who has created you and your family. And even your witchcraft cannot shake his power. I tell you, it is a true story. Those guys, they really cried like babies under that tree. They could sense the presence of God under that tree. I told the elder witchcraft that I'm beginning with your village. He said, I don't have a problem. Come, I need Jesus. I need that Jesus. You are preaching. I'm trusting God to help me to plant 100 churches in 10 years. Right now I have 10 soldiers, men of God, and I know they are called of God. I know when I reach these 10 people, I know 100 churches it will not be a problem. So I bring them together, 10 or 5 people or 2 of them. I take time to share with them.
His ability to train them, to nurture them, to care, and to send them out to reach others. It's like a fire, you know. Benson's like touching this group of the people. He leads them and they continue the work.
His churches are all in different areas out in the desert. So he kind of has a circuit. He tries to visit each church, I believe at least once a month, and spend a few days there.
When he walked out into the desert, he would take his staff and maybe a bottle of water, and that would be his what he needed for the next several days. Sleeping out under the stars, sleeping in the sand.
He's been stung by scorpions a number of times, bitten by snakes. One time he was shot and showed us his scar. It looked to me like it was right over his heart, you know, it was from a bullet. And he tells about how God has protected him.
If it's about to fight with the lion, if it's sleeping in the mountains, walk in hopeless soil, God has been with me. I've met many snakes, but they have never destroyed the desire and the vision I have for the people.
Regardless of all those dangers, the sun, lack of food, there's that drive in him. He has strong intimacy with God. That makes all the difference with Benson.
Challenges are there, but when you know why God has called you, nothing will change the vision. I know I'm from a very small village, very poor village, and it has been God's grace for me to be what I am. What I believe is God can use any person. God can use you to do great things. What are you waiting, brother? God is waiting for you. I know you have a call, you have a vision, you have a destiny for your life. May God bless you. Please come and obey God's voice. Amen. And amen.
An incredible story of Benson. And if you didn't catch it, Solomon, who told part of the story, he came through Reach and started his own training program that Benson went through. And now Benson and Solomon together are actually starting another training program up there in Benson's area so that he can train, better equip the leaders that are coming to Christ. And but since this time, there's a big famine going on right now in Africa. And just so that you know, since the team came back, he's had 10 leaders that he's trained die because of the famine, 10 men, and 21 of the kids that the Reach team worked with, that Benson works with, have died because the famine is so severe over there. So if you remember them, please remember to pray for them, because they really need your support. Benson, I could tell you so many stories of Benson. The team enjoyed spending that time with him. They talked on the video of Benson being shot just above his heart. What happened was Benson went into this village and the witch doctor met him, did not want him there, and shot him at point blank range. And Benson fell down to the ground, and he just called out, he said, "God, please, please, one more. Let me tell one more." And he stood back up, and the bullet dropped out. And he has a scar right there. Another time he went into a village, and the witch doctor, what happens in these villages, if you're a visitor, they just throw a little meat up over like a pole for you, and you know that that's yours to eat because you're the visitor. And so what happened was this witch doctor had poisoned the meat, and he had killed people before in this manner. And so he didn't want Benson there. And so he poisoned this meat, put it up there. Benson came by, took it, and ate it. And so Benson sits down around the fire to start to share the word of God with these people. And the witch doctor sits across the fire from him, just waiting for any moment that he's going to keel over. And nothing happens. No side effects. And the witch doctor was so amazed at this that he gave his life to Jesus. And because he, as the leader, gave his life to Jesus, the whole village then followed and gave their lives to Jesus. Just amazing stories. But I'm impressed. There's a lot of things that I could say about Benson. But one, I want to say the story that you've seen here, this is not just a story about Benson. This is your story. You guys have supported Rosedale Mennonite Missions. You've sent missionaries through Rosedale Mennonite Missions. You guys have prayed for our missionaries and our teams that are gone. This is your story, because this is some of the fruit, the long-lasting fruit that you normally don't see from the pews. And so on behalf of our missionary workers, on behalf of Rosedale Mennonite Missions, I want to thank you for your support, because the fruit that's out there, it's really amazing. Some of the places are hard, and you don't get to see a lot of fruit. This is an area that we're seeing, you know, a lot of fruit in, and that's very exciting. Also, I want to thank you. One of the things that we're doing, of course, is renovating a new training center, and you guys have come and worked there a lot. Levi's been there quite a bit working, and this facility is to equip and train more workers to send into the harvest. And so we thank you for your support for that endeavor. The second thing I'm really impressed with Benson is his willingness to go. Benson was just an average guy. If you caught it, what was it, 63, something like that. He was one of the sons and daughters among 63, something like that. He had six mothers. His dad had six wives. He was the least. These are Turkana people looked down on, and God is using him. He is nothing special. He's just an average guy that God's called, and he started to go. He was 17 years old when he started his, what he calls his serious evangelism work, and he started walking to these unreached, these other villages, and he walked 260 kilometers. That is 160 miles. It took him 4 days and four nights to get there. Now, I don't know about you, but if God called me, said, I want you to go to this city, and I want you to share Christ with these people, I'd probably say, okay, God, all right, I'm willing to go. Okay, you provide me the way, and I'll go. You know, God would respond here, did I not give you two good legs? You know, Benson just got up and walked 4 days, four nights to get to these other villages. When they filmed this, this was the first time that he had ever ridden in a vehicle to these villages. And the team, when they were first with him, and like walking to church and things like that, you know, 5 miles, they would ask him, you know, how far is this? Oh, very close, very close. It's only 5 miles, you know. So it's a little bit different. Ezekiel 33, if you have your Bibles, turn with me. Ezekiel 33, 1 through 9. This is God talking to Ezekiel about being a watchman. Ezekiel 33, starting at verse 1. It says, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, speak to your countrymen and say to them, when I bring the sword against the land, and the people of the land choose one of their men to make them their watchmen, and he sees the sword coming against the land and blows the trumpet to warn the people, then if anyone hears the trumpet but does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes his life, his blood will be on his own head, since he heard the sound of the trumpet but did not take warning. His blood will be on his own head. If he had taken warning, he would have saved himself. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, the sword comes and takes the life of one of them, that man will be taken away because of his sin. But I will hold the watchman accountable for his blood. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak, and give them warning for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways, and he does not do so, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. God has made us his watchmen. In the New Testament, God has made us his watchmen. He has commissioned us. And in Matthew 28 is Jesus' commissioning to us, saying, go into all the world and preach the good news to all nations, tribes, and peoples. This is our responsibility. God has now commissioned us to speak his words. Here, that's in the workplace, wherever we're at, if we're at Walmart, wherever we're at, he's commissioned us to be his watchmen. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God has called us and commissioned us, and he's calling us his ambassadors. We are his ambassadors to the world. And we're going to be accountable someday for that. You know, I was a pastor in Goshen, pastoring there for 9 years, and a lot of people have the wrong idea. They think because they're paying a pastor, they're paying somebody full-time, they think that person is now going to do all the work of being a watchman or all the work of being commissioned by God to preach the good news. That is not so. As pastors, they are supposed to equip the body to do the work better. That is what they're supposed to do. And we are not just we're not just like off the hook of that. We are commissioned by Christ to share the good news with the world around us. It is our job to do that. And if you turn over just a couple pages back to Mark 5. And part of this is, you know, okay, we know we're ambassadors. We know we've been commissioned. So are there any other prerequisites? How do we know if we're, what are the qualifications for us to actually share Christ? I mean, I hear a lot of things. You know, I work with teenagers, college age, and there's a lot of hesitancy. You know, like, well, you know, I don't know what to say. You know, I don't know what to do. You know, most of us have been in church most of our life, right? Okay, let's look at this story here in Mark and see what the qualifications are. This is the story, Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Let me find it here, Mark. Here we go, Mark chapter 5. No, we're going to skip down to verse 14, but this is the story of Jesus healing the demon-possessed man, okay? And he went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes, where Jesus got out of the boat and was met by this man that had demons. And this guy would run around naked. He would cut himself and scream and all of this, and people were scared of him. They would bind him with chains. He would break the chains. It says nobody could bind him. Okay? So Jesus now, the demons were begging for mercy from Jesus, and Jesus sends them into the pigs. And, you know, the pigs go into the water, and that's the end right there. Okay, but we're going to pick it up in verse 14. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this to the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed, demon-possessed, begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him and said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. So what are the prerequisites we find here? One, he's had an encounter with Jesus, right? He's had an encounter with Jesus, he's in his right mind, and he's dressed. And I've noticed this morning, you guys are all dressed, you know? And so if you've had an encounter with Jesus, and you're in your right mind, you qualify. You qualify to share what Jesus has done for you. It's not that difficult. You know, we open our mouth and we share with people what God has done for us. That's what we're called to do. We're called ambassadors to share with the world what Jesus has done for us. It doesn't mean that we have to go to Thailand or Bangladesh to do it. It means in the workplace, wherever we're at with our neighbors, are we finding ways to reach out to the world around us? No matter who it is, we will give an account someday for this. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have." So hopefully, you're living your lives in such a way that people are going to see you and wonder, what is it about this person? What is it about this person that they are so different? They're responding differently to the bad situations that happen. They're responding differently than other people. And I got to know what this is. It says, "But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." And lastly, in Colossians 4:2-6, it says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim it as we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." One of my challenges for us, this body, just this week, here's my challenge, is that we every day pray that God would open a door. That God would open a door, and when He does, that we would have the boldness to walk through it. That we would have the boldness to just share with them what Jesus has done in our lives. It's not very hard. You know, it doesn't mean you have to go to Sunday school all your life, which most of us have. It doesn't mean that you have to be commissioned as a missionary. Jesus already commissioned us as His ambassadors. It just means to look for those opportunities and walk through those doors when the doors open. I think a lot of times the doors open, we don't even see them because we're not expecting them. And so that's the challenge I want to leave you with, and I would like to just pray for us before Rob comes back up. Dear Heavenly Father, right now I thank you, Lord, that you have trusted us with so much. But Father, we know that it's not us, it's you, it's your Spirit that convicts the heart. And so Father, that leaves very little on us except for just to be willing to go, be willing to do whatever it is that you're asking us to do. And Father, if it is as simple as just opening our mouths and sharing with others what you have done in our lives, Father, help us to be willing to do that. Lord, we ask that this very week, Lord, that you would open up doors for us to be able to be a light and a testimony for you, that we would be an ambassador for you, wherever it's at. Help us to do that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.